I'd like for you to take the Word of God, please, and turn with me to the Gospel of Luke, chapter 22, as we stand to our feet in honor of God's Word. Luke, chapter 22, read a familiar portion of Scripture, one that we've preached on many times before, and probably preach on all of our days. The Bible says in verse 31, "And the Lord said, Simon, Simon, behold, Satan hath desired to have you, that he may sift you as wheat. But I prayed for thee, that thy faith fail not. And when thou art converted, strengthen thy brethren. And he said unto him, Lord, I am ready to go with thee, both into prison and to death. And he said, I tell thee, Peter, the cock shall not crow this day, before thou shalt thrice deny that thou knowest me." I want to preach on the sifting serpent and the sovereign Savior. Let's pray together. Father, we love you. And we know you love us. Thank you so much for that love. I pray that you'll help us tonight to hear from thee. And I pray that you'll use thy word to strengthen our hearts and our lives to serve you in a greater way. Lord, I realize my need of thee. I ask you to hide me behind the cross. I can't do this in my own strength, my own power. But I know through thy divine enabling, Lord, I'll be able to preach. You'll recall to my memory, Lord, those things that need to be recalled. You'll give me that unction that I need to deliver. And I pray that tonight that you'll do a mighty work in our lives. And Lord, I pray that we'll go out of here closer to thee. Thank you for your love. Thank you for your word. And thank you that we can open it and read it, preach through it, grow in thee. I give you the glory for what's going to be accomplished. For it's in the name of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ that we pray. Amen and amen. Thank you. Please be seated. I know I've preached in this portion of Scripture on strengthen thy brethren. I preach in this portion of Scripture on Satan hath desired to have you. We could go and we could talk about all the things that are surrounding this passage and understand certain things about it. But we get down to this point where the Lord Jesus is speaking to his disciples. And he says, Simon, Simon, behold, Satan hath desired to have you that he may sift you as wheat. A lot of commentators believe that he was saying to all the disciples, Satan desires to have all of you, and he's pointing out specifically Peter because he knows what's going to happen in Peter's life. He knows that Peter's going to deny him. And I want you to understand that in our life, there is a sifting serpent. Satan wants to sift you as wheat. If you have determined you're going to serve the Lord, then you might as well understand it's not going to be easy or simple, but it's going to be the greatest life and the most blessed life that you could ever have. God never promised that it would be easy, but God did promise He would be with us all the way. God never said it would go just exactly the way we wanted it to go, but He said if we'll live in His will, it'll go the way that He wants it to go, and His way is better than our way. When I look at this passage of Scripture, I see a few things, hopefully, that we'll get a hold of here tonight. And I want you to understand this. When we talk about the sifting serpent and the sovereign Savior, these are two things that are always there. The devil's always there, and the Savior is always there, if you know the Lord. So when we look at this tonight, I want you to see, first of all, that there is going to be this foe in our life. And there'll be other foes, but there is going to be this foe in our life. The Bible says, Simon, Satan, Simon, Simon, behold, Satan hath desired to have you that he may sift you as wheat. Satan is our enemy. Satan is our foe. Satan does not want us to go forward in the will of God. As a matter of fact, Satan wants to destroy our lives. Satan wants for us to throw in the towel. And I don't want to give him a whole lot of credit tonight, but we need to understand that he is our adversary. And he's going about seeking whom he may devour. And he wants to devour your life. If you're going to serve God, you will fight the devil. I was listening one time to a preacher on the radio, and then I've heard preachers otherwise that, you know, on TV, they'll get up with their brashness and their pomp and their arrogance, and they'll start saying something like, I rebuke the devil. Well, you know, the Bible says in the book of Jude, if you'll remember, in that story, as a matter of fact, I'll just read that to you in Jude, verse number 9. The Bible says, yet Michael the archangel, when contending with the devil, he disputed about the body of Moses, durst not bring against him a railing accusation, but said, the Lord rebuke thee. There's one thing I found out. I don't have the power to rebuke the devil. I don't have that power. If Michael the archangel can't rebuke the devil, then I can't rebuke the devil, but we can call on God to rebuke the devil. Dear friends, we need to understand that there is a foe, and as we serve the Lord, this foe is going to fight against us, and he is going to sift us as wheat, and he is going to try to devour us, and he goes by our door 1,000 times a day looking for just that very instant when you have opened the door just a little bit, and he can get his toe in the door so he can open it wide and try to devour you and try to destroy you. It is a fight. I remember the Lord Jesus said, get thee behind me, Satan. You remember that? He had the power to do that. I don't have the power, but I know somebody who does. This is a fight worth fighting. This is a life worth living. And by the way, even the heartaches we go through are heartaches worth having if we're doing what we're doing for the Lord Jesus Christ. There is a foe. But another thing is we need to realize not only is there a foe, sometimes we give the devil more credit than he ought to get. You ever hear a testimony service where somebody will inevitably get up and they'll tell all their sins in their life? Well, this is what I used to be, and I used to drink, and I used to curse, and boy, I mean, the devil just had his way with me, and I'd go down to the bar on Friday night, and, you know, I'd dance and drink and curse and smoke, and I'd blah, 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 and blah, 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 and then they'll get to the end and say, but the Lord saved me. I'm sitting here thinking, I think Jesus deserves a little bit more place in their life than that. Matter of fact, I think the greatest thing we can do, now when we're dealing with somebody individually and they're going through a battle, you can say, you know what, that used to be a part of my life, but God delivered me. But when we're giving a public testimony, you know what you can tell people, and this is always true, and it doesn't glorify the devil, you can say, I was empty, I was lost, I had a hopelessness about me, but there was a day when Jesus Christ showed me the reason for my emptiness. He showed me I was a sinner, and I called upon him, asked him to forgive my sins, come into my life to be my Savior, and he filled that void. That hopelessness turned into hope. That helplessness turned into help. That sadness turned into joy. That sorrow turned into happiness when Jesus came in. There's going to be a foe. You're going to fight the devil. There's no doubt about it. But just as sure as there's a foe in your life, I want you to know there's a friend in your life. Notice what the Bible says in verse 32. The Lord Jesus says, but I have prayed for thee. And Christ is praying for us. Do you understand that? The Bible said he ever liveth to make intercession for us. We have a fight on our hands, and we have a foe to the fight because there is a sifting serpent. But dear friend, there is not one thing that we'll ever face that the Lord Jesus Christ doesn't already know about because he is the sovereign Savior. He prays for us. Christ is our friend. And while there may be a foe, I believe we sing it and we can say it. What a friend we have in Jesus. All our sins and griefs to bear. What a privilege it is to carry. Everything. Think about what we have when we have the Lord Jesus Christ. Here, Peter is getting ready to face something, and the Lord Jesus is speaking to all his disciples, but he points out Peter, and he says, all these things, Satan desires to have all of you. He's going to try to sift all of you as wheat. And Peter's the one that boldly steps up and says, you know, it's not going to be that way. But because he's the all-knowing Savior, he understands some things. And he looks, and he says, I've desired you that, Satan has desired to have you that may sift you as wheat, but I have prayed for thee. Thy faith fail not. And when thou art converted, strengthen thy brethren. He prays for us. We've looked at this before, but that great high priestly prayer of the Lord Jesus Christ that we find in the Gospel of John chapter 17. Notice what he says throughout this prayer as he's talking to his Heavenly Father. The Lord Jesus is praying. And he says in verse number 11, and I know we preached on this just a few weeks ago, and he says, now I'm no more in the world, but these are in the world, and I come to thee, Holy Father, keep through thine own name those whom thou hast given me, that they may be one as we are. While I was with them in the world, I kept them in my name. Those that thou gavest me, I've kept, and none of them is lost, but the son of perdition, that the scripture might be fulfilled. And now I come to thee, and these things I speak in the world, that they, that's those that he's praying for, those of us, you know, our friend is praying for us, that they might have my joy fulfilled in themselves. I have given them thy word, and the world hated them because they are not of the world, even as I'm not of the world. I pray not that thou shouldest take them out of the world, but that thou shouldest keep them from the evil. They are not of the world, even as I am not of the world. Sanctify them through thy truth. Thy word is truth. I want you to understand that there is a foe that's going to be there in our life, but just as sure as there's a foe, there is a friend that sticketh closer than a brother, and his name is the Lord Jesus Christ, and he ever liveth to make intercession for us, and there in heaven, he is praying for us. He is praying for me, and he is praying for you. And dear friends, we ought to keep on serving him. Amen? We ought to keep on keeping on for the Lord Jesus Christ. Romans 8:27, the Bible says, and he that searcheth the hearts knoweth what is the mind of the Spirit, because he maketh intercession for the saints according to the will of God. Here's the thing. My prayer life, sometimes I pray according to my will. Y'all ever do that? You know, and then we get down and piously at the end we'll say, nevertheless, Lord, not my will, but thy will be done. Not meaning it one bit, right? Really, we want our will to be done. Well, when the Lord Jesus prays for us, he knows the will of God. And he prays for us according to the will of God. Think about that. What a friend we have in Jesus. Amen. What a friend. Yeah, there's a foe. But there's a friend, and he's the greatest friend the world's ever known. He loves you more than any other friend. He's able to save us to the uttermost, the Bible says. Those that come to God by him, because he ever liveth. The Bible says in 1 John chapter 2, verse number 1, my little children, these things write I unto you that you sin not. And if any man sin, we have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ the righteous. Simon, Simon, Jesus said, Satan hath desired to have you, that he may sift you as wheat. But I have prayed for thee. I don't want you to go home thinking that all is hopeless because you're going through the battle, because the sifting process is taking place in your life. Satan's going to sift, but there's one that's living and he's seated at the right hand of God making intercession for us. It's your friend. Do you know him tonight? Do you know Jesus? If you know him, he's your friend. And he's praying for you. And he cares for you. He desires the will of God for your life. Oh, may the Lord help us to see this. Notice what else he says here in the book of Luke, chapter 22. After he says, Satan has desired to have you that he may sift you as wheat, he says, but I have prayed for thee that thy faith fail not. But then he comes along and he says, and when thou art converted, strengthen thy brethren. Now that conversion is not conversion in salvation. It means when he comes back to where he's serving God the way that he ought to serve God. Try to put it that way. His life, he's going to walk away from the things of God. He does. You can't lose your salvation, by the way, dear friends. You cannot lose your salvation because the Bible says, he that hath the Son hath life. It's a present possession. Amen. We could talk about all those verses, and you know I've preached on it numerous times. You have everlasting life. You have eternal life. We understand this. We know that Jesus Christ died once for all. But here, the Lord Jesus, in his sovereignty, understood that this servant of his was going to turn away from what the Lord had for his life. And he says, when you turn back, again, not in salvation, but when you've turned your life back to doing what it is I want you to do, I want you to do this favor for me. Strengthen thy brethren. We have a foe, we have a friend, and the friend says, here's a favor I have. Strengthen thy brethren. Strengthen thy brethren. The Lord Jesus uses Peter in a great and mighty way. We have the book of 1 Peter and the book of 2 Peter. These two small epistles that's preserved in our word. And God has used these two epistles for all these generations to do what? To strengthen the brethren. Go read it. See if you don't find strengthening words all throughout. When there's mockers and people are laughing and making fun and saying, the Lord Jesus is not coming again. Peter says, hey, I want you to understand, a day is as 1,000 years and 1,000 years is as a day. Just as sure as he said he's coming again, he will come again. And you go and you can see, remember Nero was on the throne when Peter was writing all these things, and Peter was writing to these believers, and mostly Jewish believers, and they were reading these things. They were going through all the persecution, and he was telling them, you're kept by the power of God. Yes, there are certain things to do, but you have to build upon your faith. It begins with faith, and then you have to add virtue, and then you have to add, and he goes on and on and on, all to strengthen the brethren. And he did it in his day, and dear friends, he's still doing it today. Every time you read these two epistles, you find that Peter is strengthening us. This word, strengthen the brethren, means to help others as they have battles. That's why he wrote, be sober, be vigilant. Because your adversary, the devil, as a roaring lion, walketh about seeking whom he may devour. See, Peter was used of God to strengthen the brethren. John chapter 15, verse 14, the Lord Jesus said, you are my friends if you do whatsoever I've commanded you. We talked about having a friend. Well, can I ask you, are we his friend? He said, well, how am I his friend? He said, the Lord Jesus said, ye are my friends if you do whatsoever I've commanded you. So the truth is Peter was a friend to the Lord because he did just exactly what the Lord told him to do, didn't he? But there's another principle in this I want you to see. We've seen the foe, we've seen the friend, we see this favor. But I want you to see something. This is so precious, I think, in this story, is the forgiveness. If we're ever going to be what God wants us to be, we have to be a forgiving people. As a matter of fact, the Lord Jesus said, you remember when in the model prayer, he said, forgive our trespasses as we forgive those who have trespassed against us. That means forgive those in the same way that we forgive others. forgive us the same way that we forgive others, right? So we understand that we're to be forgiving people. The Bible says here in verse 33 and 34 of our text, and he said unto him, Lord, I am ready to go with thee, both into prison and to death. I can imagine the drama that was there, can't you? The Lord Jesus has just said, Satan hath desired to have you that he may sift you as wheat. But I prayed for thee, that thy faith fail not. And when thou art, he didn't say if, he said when thou art converted, strengthen thy brethren. Peter did not like what he just heard. Because he's sitting there and he's saying, well, the Lord is telling me that I'm going to walk away and I'm going to have to turn back, be converted. And so Peter, I don't know if he clenches his fist, not angrily at the Lord, but in making a declaration, you know how we'll do sometimes? I could just imagine Peter, this fisherman, you know? This fisherman who's always in control and command of all the things that were around him. This fellow that was brought up and probably a very rough man, but he's been saved now and God's done some things in his life, but he is who he is. And he says this, Lord, I am ready to go with thee both into prison and to death. You can imagine. I'll do whatever it takes. If they take you to the jail cell, I'll go. If they take your life, I'll die with you. And he, Jesus, said, I tell thee, Peter, the cock shall not crow this day before that thou shalt thrice deny that thou knowest me. We've made some bold promises to the Lord before, haven't we? I'll tell you, God, I'll never do it again if you'll do this. I'll tell you, God, I'll go over here if this will happen. I'll not let you down. I'm glad we can't hear what the Lord is saying to us sometimes. Because He's already in our tomorrow. He knows what we're going to do, you know? It's hard for our finite minds to understand this. Well, here in Luke, Peter said, I'm going with you all the way. Prison, death, doesn't matter. Jesus said, you're going to deny that you even know me. Three times before the cock crows. The Bible says, the book of Matthew, chapter number 26, verse number 69. They had taken the Lord Jesus away. Now we understand that. The Bible says, now Peter sat without in the palace. Now, he was sat without. You notice that. He wasn't where the Lord was. He sat away from the Lord. Sat without in the palace. And a damsel came unto him, saying, thou also was with Jesus of Galilee. But he, Peter, denied before them all, saying, I know not what thou sayest. And when he was gone out into the porch, another maid saw him and said unto them that were there, this fellow also was also with Jesus of Nazareth. And again he denied with an oath, I do not know the man. I'll go with you to prison. I'll go with you to death. Hey, weren't you with Jesus? I don't know him. Hey, this man was with Jesus of Galilee. I don't know him, with some expletives. The Bible goes on and says, in verse 73, after a while came unto him they that stood by and said to Peter, surely thou also art one of them, for thy speech bereath thee. Then began he to curse and to swear, saying, I know not the man. And immediately, the cock crew. Can you imagine what went through Peter's heart? I told him I'd go with him to prison. I'd go with him to death. I told him I'd be there by his side. I told him I'd go with him all the way. I promised him that's what I'd do. And yes, I know that he said that I would deny him before the cock crow. He said I would deny him three times, but I told him I would go. And now I've done this. I've heard the rooster crow, and it's true. He'll never forgive me. You can imagine how Peter must have felt. Can you not? Can't you imagine how Peter must have felt? In the Gospel of John, Peter's denied the Lord. And by the way, one of the Gospels teaches us that when the rooster crowed, that at that very moment, the eyes of Peter and the eyes of Christ met, seeing each other. Can you imagine? Can you imagine what Peter must have been feeling? The Bible says Peter wept bitterly because he realized what he had just done. This friend he had betrayed. This friend that he said, I'll go with you to prison to death. He just denied him. Surely he'd never be forgiven. Peter had to feel like any chance of doing anything for God was over. John chapter 21, verse number 3, the Bible says, Simon Peter saith unto them, I go a-fishing. They say unto him, we also go with thee. They went forth and entered into a ship immediately, and that night they caught nothing. But when the morning was now come, Jesus stood on the shore. But the disciples knew not that it was Jesus. Then Jesus saith unto them, children, have ye any meat? And they answered him, no. And he said unto them, cast the net on the right side of the ship. And by the way, where was it the Lord Jesus found Peter in the beginning? Fishing. Peter's gone back. He feels like he is so far away from God, he's just gone back to that old way, hadn't he? And Jesus comes back to where he was. Better go on. Cast the net on the right side of the ship, and ye shall find. They cast therefore. Now, they were not able to draw it for the multitudes of fishes. Therefore, the disciple whom Jesus loved, talking about John, saith unto Peter, and by the way, this is a title that John gave himself. He knew Jesus loved him so much, and he just loved saying, I'm that disciple whom Jesus loved. You know? Don't you ever say, I feel like Jesus loves me more than anybody. I feel like he's better than me than anybody. Anyway, let's go on. Therefore, the disciple whom Jesus loved saith unto Peter, it is the Lord. Now, when Simon Peter heard that it was the Lord, he girt his fisher's coat unto him, for he was naked. In other words, he had a kind of clothes on that would be considered naked. He wasn't truly naked. Understand that. But in those days, you know, he had more clothes on than what a lot of people walk around the streets with here today. But anyway, and then cast himself into the sea. And the other disciples came in a little ship, for they were not far from the land, but as it were 200 cubits, dragging the net with fishes. And as soon as they were come to the land, they saw a fire of coals there, and fish laid thereon in bread. They hadn't even brought the fish on, but Jesus already had some there cooking for them. I like that too, don't you? And Jesus saith unto them, bring of the fish which you have now caught. And Simon Peter went up and drew the net to land full of great fishes, 153. And for all there were so many, yet was not the net broken. Jesus saith unto them, come and dine. None of the disciples durst ask him, who art thou? Knowing that it was the Lord. Jesus then cometh and taketh the bread and giveth them, and fish likewise. This is now the third time that Jesus showed himself to his disciples after that he was risen from the dead. So when they had dined, Jesus saith to Simon Peter, Simon, son of Jonas, lovest thou me more than these? I wonder why, with all the disciples there, why he said Simon? Why didn't he say John, the disciple whom I love? You love me? But he knew Peter needed this. And he said, Simon, son of Jonas, lovest thou me more than these? And he saith unto him, yea, Lord, thou knowest that I love thee. And he saith unto him, feed my lambs. And he saith to him again the second time, Simon, son of Jonas, lovest thou me? And he saith unto him, yea, Lord, thou knowest that I love thee. And he saith unto them, feed my sheep. He saith unto him the third time, Simon, son of Jonas, lovest thou me? Peter was grieved because he said unto him the third time, lovest thou me? And he said unto him, Lord, thou knowest all things. Thou knowest that I love thee. And Jesus saith unto him, feed my sheep. Now we could go in and we could talk about everything that's being said here. But I want you to remember, and you know the story, that he denied the Lord three times. And Jesus knew Peter loved him. But he had to help Peter to remember that he loved him. You understand? And that he accepted that love. And that it was all right. He knew what had to be done. He knew that Peter was going to deny him. He understood those things were going to take place. So they come to this point in life. And Peter has felt like that he is destitute and there is absolutely no chance for him to ever serve the Lord again. But three times he says, do you love me? Do you love me? Do you love me? And then Peter says, yes, yes. Lord, you know all things. You know I love you. He said, feed my lambs. Feed my sheep. Feed my sheep. You know what? Peter thought any chance I have of serving God is over. But now the Lord Jesus is saying, feed my lambs. Feed my sheep. Feed my sheep. You know what he's saying tonight? He's saying, Peter, you're forgiven. I've forgiven you. Now forgive yourself and get out there and do what it is that I have for you to do. And there's a principle of forgiveness. We need to realize how much we've been forgiven, and we need to be forgiving of others. And then the Bible says in the book of Acts, chapter number 1, this is winding down. Peter thought he'd never serve the Lord again. But the Bible says, in those days, in verse 15 of chapter 1, in those days Peter stood up in the midst of the disciples. I like that. He was still there in that number, wasn't he? And here he was, leading these disciples. But then look at chapter number 2. And notice what the Bible says in verse number 14. But Peter, standing up with the 11, lifted up his voice and said unto them, ye men of Judea, and all ye that dwell in Jerusalem, be this known unto you, and hearken to my words. And then he begins and he preaches a sermon with such great power and such great authority from God that 3,000 people were saved. And he thought, it's over. It's over. We all have this foe. That's common. The devil. But when you know Jesus as Savior, we all have this friend. And this friend, Jesus, says, I want you to go out and do these things. He told Peter, strengthen thy brethren. And after Peter denied the Lord, he helped him to understand, Peter, I know you're human. I know you've made a mistake, but I want you to know you're forgiven. I'm going to use you in a great way if you'll forgive yourself and move on and do what it is I've called you to do. What a Savior. You see, the devil knows what you're going to face tomorrow. Savior, the devil knows what he's going to tempt you with tomorrow. But the Savior knows what you're going to face tomorrow. By the way, I'm just this way. I believe the Savior already knows if you're going to fail, if you're going to pass the test. He's the Lord. When I talk about the sovereignty of God, I want you to understand that He knows all things. When it comes to salvation, we choose whether we want to trust Jesus Christ as our Savior. He gives us that will, the free will, to trust Him. But once we trust Him, we are sealed with the Holy Spirit of promise. Now, because He is sovereign, He knows the moment we're saved, He knows all the things we're going to do in the future. He knows everything we're going to mess up with. But He still saves us. He still keeps us. He knows what you're going to face. Dear friends, you may have done something. You may feel like you've turned your back on God. You may feel like you can't be used anymore. But there's a friend that ever liveth that's making intercession for you. He says He desires that we sin not. But if we do sin, we have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ the righteous. What a friend we have in Jesus. What a Savior. It's good to have Christ in our life. Let's bow our heads for a word of prayer tonight. If you're here tonight and you can say, I know beyond any shadow of a doubt that Jesus Christ is my Savior, heaven's going to be my home. Not because I'm perfect, but because I put my faith and trust in Him. I'm saved. And I'm on my way to heaven. Would you raise your hand? I pray and ask Jesus Christ to come into my life to be my Savior, and I'm on my way to heaven. Would you lift your hand right now as a testimony? I'm saved. I'm saved. God bless you. Thank you for that. You can put your hands down. Be one here tonight and say, Preacher, I've never done that. I've never prayed and asked Jesus to come into my life. I'm not saved. I don't have the peace and assurance of heaven because I've never trusted Him. I try to be good, I try to do right, but I've just never asked Jesus to be my Savior. Would you pray for me? I'm not saved, I'm not sure I'm saved. Would you pray for me? Would there be one here tonight? As far as I can tell, almost every hand went up. They knew that heaven was going to be their home. Is there something in your life that you've not forgiven yourself for? Is there something in your life that you've not asked God to forgive you for? Confess your sins. He's faithful and just to forgive your sins. Don't go on in life because you're too proud to ask God to forgive you, or you're too proud to forgive yourself. Forgiveness is there. Truly, if you truly are sorry, not sorry that you got caught, but sorry that you did it and wish you'd never done it, and you know you can't go back and undo it. But dear friends, you can confess that to the Lord. In sincerity, He'll forgive you, cleanse you, and you can get on and do some great things in your life with the Lord. You may know somebody that once walked with God, but they're away from the Lord. You may need to come and pray for them tonight. You may just have a special need. Well, here's a friend. His name is Jesus, and he's there, and he's making intercession for you. He's praying for you. Why don't you come and talk to him about maybe those special needs, maybe seeking direction? Oh, may we be obedient tonight. Father, in Jesus' name we pray that you'll help us to be obedient in this time of invitation. Lord, may we put pride aside. And Lord, may we come before Thee, trusting Thee, living for Thee, seeking forgiveness, forgiving ourselves, and going on and serving You to the best of our ability. We pray these things in the name of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. Let's stand to our feet tonight.